Hour 2, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to Josh McDaniels, some second guessing about the hire nationally and whether or not he's the right fit for Drake May. Patriots also filling out their coaching staff. Again, Doug Marrone, St. Doug Marrone.
St. Doug.
Had a winning record with the Buffalo Bills one year. He started referring to himself as St. Doug. He went to Jacksonville.
And then he left. Remember, there was like a weird circumstance.
Yeah, correct. I think he was starting to call himself St. Doug after that because he's like, yeah, I didn't stay there, and I got a winning season out of Buffalo. Now, it turns out Sean McDermott's had a million winning seasons there, even one without Josh Allen and a playoff appearance.
He had an out clause in his contract. So he was the Syracuse coach, and then Buffalo was like, we're going to do this huge search and look for our next head coach. And then they just like went down the street and were like, we're going to hire Doug Marrone. So Doug Marrone was in Buffalo for 2 years. They had a winning record in his second year. And then he exercised an out clause and quit after the 2014 season.
Nice.
And still got paid his 2015 salary.
To go like work with his buddies in New Orleans or whatever, right?
And then it says after Marrone quit, several players expressed their displeasure and disgust with both the decision and the way that he informed the team. One of the captains, Fred Jackson, said, quote, it was like getting punched in the stomach. Marrone interviewed with the New York Jets for their head coaching position. His interview reportedly did not go well. He then went to the Jaguars as an assistant head coach and O-line coach. Mm-hmm. And then after like a couple seasons became their head coach. Made the 2017 AFC Championship game that you referenced.
Yep.
And then, remember they started to lose a bunch of their players, and then they sucked big time the next 3 years, and then he was out.
But okay. But he had a winning record with the Bills long before Josh Allen. He took the Jaguars to the AFC title game,
That's right.
He's not your head coach, he's not your play caller, he's your O-line coach.
No. I think it's a good hire.
That's a good hire.
You're just pointing out his past, some of those things that might be kind of questionable, but whatever. Like I think coaching the O-line, I don't think you can do a whole lot better.
I think he had a very awkward press conference at one point in time in Jacksonville as well. Maybe we can dig
in on
that. Plus, they're also hiring Thomas Brown, who's going to be their passing game coordinator and their tight ends coach. Thomas Brown, I actually thought, when he took over as interim head coach of the Bears, it didn't go so well.
No.
But when he was just elevated to their offensive coordinator, I thought he did a better job, with Caleb Williams in that offense this year than, why do I
Shane
keep blanking?
Waldron.
Thank you. The guy who the Patriots wanted, who took the Bears job instead and got fired in year one.
Yeah.
So they're filling out their coaching staff. We'll get to that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. The other thing we've touched on today is, of course, the local, quote-unquote, earthquake that people are feeling.
4.1.
4.1 off of York, Maine.
Yep.
That apparently people in Boston are claiming they felt.
Yeah, they felt it all
right. Which maybe they did. We're in Brighton.
We didn't.
Like, we're here.
We're so laser-focused on the show. That also could be it.
But we're also kind of, I mean, we're very much at ground level. We're kind of even, like, sub-ground.
Yeah. Is that maybe we're safer?
But so we're, like, in the ground. Shouldn't we feel it more?
I saw Billy run to the doorway and stand in between the doorway, which is smart. That was really... That's a pro's move right there.
If we're in the basement, that's a lot of building falling on top of us if anything were
good
to
point.
Happen, right?
Like, plus all the construction around here.
Yeah,
that's
a
house
of
cards across the
street.
Seriously,
that's true.
Not good.
You would think, for anyone claiming they felt it in Boston, we would be the ones feeling it, but I didn't feel a thing.
Just go to Twitter.
We're kind of inside of a mountain, though, aren't we?
A little bit.
Yeah, we're like the side of a hill. I don't even know how to describe it.
Should we feel it, or should we feel it more because of where we are?
I think more.
I don't know.
I don't understand the science on that.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm also being told the chip in my dog that I was paying for a few years, I've been scammed.
You for sure been scammed.
Yeah,
that was my feeling.
These are all the topics we touched on.
Chip causing to lose his teeth.
I think they're related.
I think I definitely got scammed on that as well. Let's go to the phones. A lot of people want to complain about the refs. James is in Leominster, wants to call me out. Go ahead, James.
Hi, yeah. So, Jones, what is a good whistle? I don't know why you keep saying a good whistle.
Because to me, it's a favorable call. I'm not saying the league's in the bag for the Chiefs, because a lot of people want to go there. I'm not willing to go to that, but I will acknowledge that the Chiefs have gotten good calls. They get the calls that tend to go their way, which winning teams, it tends to happen. It happened for the Patriots, too. I didn't think the league was in the bag for the Patriots.
Yeah. No, that's where my argument is. 20 years, you gave two examples of a quote-unquote good whistle.
Yeah.
You know what those two good whistles were? Two right calls.
Go.
That's what that was.
Look,
20 years,
James,
two right calls.
James, the Tuck Rule
two
one,
right calls.
The Tuck Rule one you're right about. They ultimately got the call right, but I don't
and
think
D Ford was
any
offside.
Of us... Okay, go watch that play.
That one's tough.
Watch that play, because I don't think anybody, unless you go back and watch it like the Zapruder film, was watching it go and D Ford is offside.
No, but I get your point.
And he was irrelevant on that play. I did watch that highlight like five times in the last break. D Ford, barely offside. If he had a fingernail offside... and he was completely irrelevant to the play where Brady threw a pick in the AFC title game,
yeah,
which was a call that went for the Patriots and not the Chiefs, which I would highlight in this specific scenario.
They weren't in the bag for the Chiefs then.
No, because they were still in the bag for the Patriots.
The
they had to move on to the Chiefs.
Roughing the passer.
Which one was?
The roughing the passer when they hit Brady in the helmet. I think it was fourth down.
In that same game? I don't even remember.
In the same game.
Like, this is the thing. I don't even remember him anymore because they were 6 years ago, and yeah. I didn't want to cry about it then. I'm not crying about it now.
No, but I get your point, too, about, like, just because it's the right call, like, we've all watched enough sports over the years
they
to know that
right
the
calls all
refs
the time.
Miss them all the time. And so, yeah, they got it right. You're right. The D Ford one, you can go back and forth all the time. But the other one, in fact, was the right call, but nobody was even really aware of it. We all saw it live, and it was like, oh, that didn't look good.
No, I'm like, they lost the game. Yeah. You're talking about the Tuck rule?
Tuck rule. It was like, I didn't know the rule. You found out it was the rule, and you're like, all right, they got it right.
Yeah, but again, they don't have to call it that way on the field. Refs get stuff wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. So you got a favorable call that literally launched the dynasty, and you were still getting good calls in 2018 in the AFC title game in Kansas City against the Chiefs. So that's bookend. Not only did I give two examples, I gave one at the beginning and one at the end, bookending the whole 20-year run.
Yeah.
Let's go to your phone calls. Johnny is in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I did think that first down play was a terrible call, but the last offensive play of the game for Buffalo, the running back goes in motion, and he's actually wide open. If Allen sees him, it's a much easier pass than the one he tried to make. They probably pick up 30, 40 yards right there and go down and maybe win the game. So I don't blame the refs for I think it was a terrible call, but I don't – and it did change the momentum of the game, but I don't really think that that's what cost them the game.
Okay, so I agree. Let's focus on that for a minute. So Wiggy said this all morning. 3.5 minutes left, 3:33, Josh Allen with the ball. All you need is a field goal.
Yeah.
3:33.
And the Bills had a good kicker.
The Bills had – great kicker.
Yeah, yeah.
Bills had all their timeouts and the two-minute warning. So, yeah, okay. The refs made a bang-bang call against the Bills in the third quarter.
Yeah, I think there's also just something about the Bills can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
There is.
Right? So, like, okay, the refs and, you know, Mahomes is clutch and Andy Reid's a good coach and their defense is good. It's like there's also the element of the Bills not being able to break through against this team.
And Johnny's right. Go back and watch. He said the running back, I'm almost positive it was Khalil Shakir, did like one of those like satellite like motion plays. So it was a wide receiver, but functioning in the backfield.
Yep.
He leaks out to the left side of the formation. He's all alone. I mean, it might have been a touchdown. If Josh Allen sees him, at bare minimum, it's a bigger play than what they would have hit to Dalton Kincaid, although Dalton Kincaid should have caught that. I mean, Allen put that throw, and I don't know how he did it under duress, on the money, and he wasn't able to reel it in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's also on Buffalo.
Would have been a good catch.
It would have been, but the refs have nothing to do with that. That's Dalton Kincaid not catching it.
No, they had a chance.
Josh Allen missing a read.
Yeah, yeah.
Allen had all day. To me, that would be part of it. I did love the play call. I tweeted this out in real time. Tony Romo at the snap. Romo had a brutal day. Brady had a good day, by the way. Brady had another good day yesterday.
Brady's coming around.
Brady, I thought in the two-minute warning leading up to halftime, I thought Brady was phenomenal. Talking you through down and distance, game situation, the time management there. I thought Brady was honestly excellent in that spot. And Romo's garbage.
Hey, leave Romo alone.
Yesterday, Keith, he goes right when the ball snapped. Go back and watch the play. He goes, Allen's going to have time here.
He's going to have time here, Jim.
No.
He's immediately running for his like no. 2 seconds later.
Corner blitz.
The guy's under like three players are on top of him. He's going to have time here.
All the time in the world. Like, oh my God, he's running for his life.
And then Nance goes, there's a flag on the field. And
it even popped up on the screen, too. It was like flag. And then they were like, all of a sudden,
I think
like,
the production truck's like, Nance sees something. We got to put the graphic up. I guess there's a flag
no
on
flag.
The field.
No.
You know what I bet happened?
Sneaker?
I bet he saw one of those yellow cleats. Exactly.
Yellow sneaks.
There is a flag.
Nope.
I didn't see a flag thrown there.
Well, good job, Romo.
He's
right about that.
You know what? It's for the best that these guys are not doing the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you.
KB and Brady are going to be a better Super Bowl team.
You're 100% right about that. I was rooting so hard for that to be a flag against Kansas City in that spot.
I was like desperately.
I was like,
come on,
give a call to the Bills.
Was there a flag? No, there wasn't a flag.
No.
Tony Romo didn't see one. Didn't see one. No, also for the Bills, like this is on them, I think, pretty significantly, too. You know, not only did they have that chance there at the end, but just sort of overall game. So the game itself was close. You know, they had possessions when they had the lead. They had plenty of possessions when they were only down by a score. Do you think James Cook had a good game? I think James Cook looked like he was pretty good.
I would say he was okay, yeah.
How many carries do you think James Cook had?
Oh, I know this.
How many times did they hand him the ball?
15?
13.
Ugh.
13 carries for James Cook, who averaged 6.5 yards a carry. He had 2 touchdowns. They did throw to him a few times where he also made explosive plays. No, he looked like a guy that could really help out Josh Allen. So it wasn't going to be all Josh Allen in this game. And I, for whatever reason, they didn't use him nearly enough. He should have gotten 20 carries,
oh, yeah.
not 13. He was doing a lot with him, and that's beginning, middle, and end of the game. Now, end of the game may be a little bit different, you know, because of, you know, 3:33 to go. You're not going to just hand him the ball a ton. But that was one, like, they did that. It was less Kansas City taking him out and more Buffalo taking him out. I don't really get that.
No, it's a fair one. By the way, text line points out another good example of the Patriots getting a good whistle, and this is Doug Marrone's team in the AFC title game. Remember Miles Jack? Fumble recovery, was all alone running it to the house. Jaguars were already up 20-10 early in the fourth quarter. There's another good whistle all that right. went your way in a fairly significant game. All in right. fact, the same round, AFC title game, which the Patriots came back in, to their credit. Mm-hmm. Danny Amendola, big fourth quarter. My guy, Danny Amendola.
Yep, friend of the show.
How about our buddy, the old show?
He was the old show, yeah. I think he'd be a friend of this show
I think
as well.
He'd be more friendly with this show.
Maybe.
He actually wasn't very friendly to the old
no.
show.
No.
Our buddy Jake is in Boston. Hello, Jake.
What's going on, boys? I do think you should give some time to Dakota and Braintree's scoop at some point, but I wonder.
Okay, quick, Jake, since you mentioned it. I believe he said, is Gerard Mayo is going to sue the Crafts? Is that what he put out there?
Whoa.
He's alluding to something that I think you saw in subtext on both on Chantel's Instagram not too long ago, and then I think we know that Gerard has been very silent. There are no interviews, obviously.
Too quiet.
Chantel's event is coming up here on the 1st. If you're talking to lawyers, you're not talking to reporters. I'm just saying. Hmm. Anyways, do you think there's a conversation going on in the Chiefs' offices this morning about their coaching staff arrogantly thinking they could win a Super Bowl with a mid-tier quarterback like the one that happened here? And do you think their ownership is angling for credit for a three-peat like a desperate Robert Kraft was? I don't think so.
I was wondering how you're going to twist this. Yeah, I don't think Andy Reid's thinking, hey, we could win this with Carson Wentz.
Okay, so that's fair. The first part, I wouldn't rule out that the Hunt family wants some credit for this eventually. Like, I wouldn't rule that out. Who knows? They're not doing it yet.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rule that out. I think they're very poor ownership, and I've made this point a bunch.
Oh, yeah, no. A lot of these ownership groups just get really lucky.
I mean,
that's what it comes down to.
Clark Hunt is what? Lamar Hunt's son, I believe. Is he further down in the lineage? I'm not sure.
What about their cousin Mike?
That's
how come he never gets any
that's
time.
The championship they trophy that the they raised for the AFC, yeah. right? Yeah.
Please call me Michael.
Yeah, I mean, it's just his dad was rich and bought the team in the 60s, and great. I mean, you haven't done anything, and you cheap out on your organization. If you read any of these NFLPA report cards, the Chiefs do equally terrible.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't rule out that the Hunt family, all of them,
Lamar,
Clark,
Mike,
I wouldn't rule that out one bit. But when it comes to the Andy Reid part and trying to win with a mediocre quarterback, no.
He tried for most of his career.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. Reid attempted to do it.
He knows.
Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, Alex Smith. No. Reid was much more successful with those bum-ass quarterbacks than Bill Belichick was.
For, no doubt.
But,
I think he's good with this guy.
He understands that, he's not going to try to do it another way, where Bill was itching to do it for a decade.
Yeah. No, and I think learned the hard way that wasn't really going to work. Chances are, you know, unless you're Joe Gibbs, chances are you're going to have to win with somebody really good.
So I had seen this. I wasn't going to bring this story up, but since...
I wasn't sure what he was talking about.
Okay, so
Jake, Mayo might not go quietly into the night?
Based
on what?
It does a lot.
I'm not scoop shaming. I'm just kind of, what is this based on?
I can't imagine. I've said this a bunch. Yeah. I can't imagine Gerard goes after Robert and Jonathan. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I don't think so either.
I can see him going after Elliot Wolf. I can see him continuing to try to trash Bill. Like, he's gonna.
Yeah, but there's no lawsuits with that.
Yeah, I don't.
And like, you coaches get fired all the time.
Yeah,
you made it through the first year when probably you shouldn't have. You probably could have gotten fired mid-season year one, but you made it the whole year.
Yeah,
and unless they're trying to like keep your money, which I can't imagine because it's a legal contract. I'm sure he's getting paid whatever it is he's guaranteed. And then you kind of move on. And, like, what are you going to assume for, like, defamation? Because article came out that said, like, you're not the best coach. Like, what is that?
Here's why I don't buy it. And maybe he's talking to a lawyer. Maybe. I have no idea. Here's why I don't buy it. You sue Kraft, you're not going to get a job.
No.
You're
Flores
not
is suing the league, and he's having a hard time getting a head coaching job. But like,
that's basically the same situation.
No owner would hire you if you did that.
I mean, if Gerard Mayo wants to start over again as some low-level assistant and work his way up, maybe. I mean, Flores had been a head coach. He had been a D coordinator. He had much more of a track record than this guy.
My guess is more Mayo may have finally learned his lesson that maybe I shouldn't talk as much. You know, because he hasn't said a word.
Well,
now, his wife did post on Instagram.
She did.
But that was in response to 2-3 articles that came out. And we're like, oh, Gerard's playing cards with the team, and like
you
all
said
this.
It, I didn't.
It was like a lot of stuff about that, right? It was like they kind of ripping them, and then she's like, oh yeah, you think that's bad or whatever, and you know, why are we lying and all this other stuff? You're like, okay, so maybe it was just a response to that. I have no idea what his lawsuit could even be.
Okay, me neither. And I just, again, I think it would be real short-sighted to do that.
Yeah,
if your goal is to work in the NFL again, that doesn't mean were treated unfairly or anything like that. Maybe he was. I have no idea. I don't pretend to know, but. Yeah, that would be real short-sighted, I would think, on his end. And I think he's a smarter guy than that.
Yeah.
So Curran has said, though, it's been complete radio silence.
Yeah, crickets.
Which to me means reporters have tried to reach out and they're not getting a response. That would be my interpretation of that.
Well, he's no longer contractually obligated to speak, whereas before he was. You had to talk during the middle of the week. You had to talk on Greg's show. You had to talk post-game. And he never did a great job with all those spots. Now he doesn't have to talk to anybody. And so whoever's giving him this advice to say nothing is the best advice he could get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his wife, I think, probably was like, enough is enough, and probably read too many of these articles and was like, this sucks.
Because you called it what? The most unfair?
Smear campaign. The most unnecessary campaign.
Unnecessary
smear. Like, you did. Everybody was like, good, let's move on. Let's get a new coach. And then it's like, guys, we fired him because he was bad at coaching. Like, right.
Yeah.
Let's all just move on collectively. They didn't need to do it. They decided to. And to this point, we've heard his wife on like an Instagram story. Like, whatever. That's also harmless.
Robert and Jonathan's defense really should be, we let him coach week 18. We were nice. We were
coach one full season.
We let him finish the year when he didn't deserve it.
Yeah. So
we should have fired him on the spot after the Chargers game, and we didn't.
Well,
that's an example of there's no wrongful termination going on.
Did you a solid.
Right. Eddie's in the car. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, guys, how are you? Two things. It was back in the 80s that I was up in York Beach, Maine, laying in a bed up there, and the bed started shaking. They had an earthquake.
Oh, yeah, it did. Oh, yeah, Eddie. Hell yeah. That's right, Eddie. My man.
Really did.
And now I got kids.
It really did happen, and I was there. But listen, I want to talk about the Kansas City game. I told you the other day that I thought Buffalo would win, but this drives me crazy because you know what this is the equivalent of with Kansas City? It's like playing baseball.
Sure.
And they're up and they get an extra strike. Every guy gets an extra strike. So if you get an extra chance and you get a chance to keep moving on, that's the problem with Kansas City. They get more chances than everybody else, and that's what's unfair.
Okay. I don't necessarily disagree that the Chiefs are getting favorable calls their way. Again, if you want to deny the Patriots did for two decades, we can go back and relitigate the past if you'd like to. But I don't know. Is there anything to the Chiefs are just a good team and
I had sex.
They're getting calls because their guys are open. Other teams need to lean in. They're well coached. I mean, is there any aspect of that with the Chiefs?
I mean,
it's hard to ignore when they get more calls in their favor every single week. Yesterday, I think the calls actually were fairly
No,
even,
that was the worst part.
But the yardage was out of whack.
There was still a whole quarter left to go in the game. And if Josh Allen, if they say it's a first down, we both thought watching it live it was a first down. The replay makes it kind of muddy depending on what angle you have of it. But if they had that first down, I'm hoping there's like a lot less chatter about it. There's still another couple of plays, and who knows how the rest of the quarter would have played out. But as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, man, like this is what it's going to be like for 2 weeks. But also, who knows what Buffalo does in that possession?
Well, thank you. So penalties yesterday were 6-5, enforced penalties anyway, accepted penalties, were 6-5. 6 for Buffalo, 5 for the Chiefs, 48 yards to 21. Of course, Buffalo had more penalty yards. And the real significant calls, I think the two most significant, really the three most significant, although one I think washed out because Mahomes wound up fumbling later on anyway, went against Buffalo. So you can jump in on that. But I agree, for all the extra chances that the Chiefs got, Josh Allen had the ball with 3:33 left to go down a field goal. Three timeouts and the two-minute warning. It's like, don't tell me the Bills didn't get a chance. They had that was a massive, massive. In fact, I thought the Chiefs left too much time on the clock there.
Yeah.
For Josh Allen. And Allen couldn't come through. Or Dalton Kincaid couldn't come through. Or the Bills couldn't come through in that spot. Anthony's in Nashua. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, boys. Hope you guys had a good weekend. I just had a question I was hoping you guys could put your opinions about.
What do you think it would take for them to consider, like, banning or putting a rule against the tush push? I have a few ideas. A, I don't get how people don't get more injured on it. If you look at the bottom guy, they have, like, 1,000 pounds of weight on their friggin' heads. So that's one. Also, I just don't, like, do you think it's ever going to get ugly enough? Like, the threes in the NBA, they finally are addressing that. It's like some of the plays you see Jaylen get picked up and carried. It's not even a push anymore.
They have a starter
behind him just carrying him into the end zone.
I would outlaw it. I'm sorry. I would outlaw it.
So I know you would. I think what this is the scenario in which it would get outlawed. The Eagles win the Super Bowl, and they do it a bunch of times, and other owners around the league say enough is enough. This happened with the Patriots. Yeah. The Patriots' defense was too physical. Ty Law hits Marvin Harrison and Torrey Holt. We can't have that. So it's not unprecedented to change rules, especially when the team that wins the whole thing is doing it and the rest of the league hates it, because nobody does it like that. We saw Josh Allen not get it a couple of times, and they have a quarterback you'd think would be even better at it. And you're right. It's gone way beyond, you know, Jalen Hurts diving forward and maybe a running back kind of pushing him. It's like three running backs pushing him. It's like a lineman will turn around and grab him and run with him. It's gone so overboard. You would need the rest of the owners in the league to be like, enough is enough. It's a competitive disadvantage. But if Kansas City wins, I don't think there's less of a hubbub. They're like, oh, they're doing it, and they still can't win.
Well, and if the Chiefs lose, that would be in the face of the league, being in the bag for the Chiefs and the refs making calls for them. So
they can't lose this way.
They would definitely change it in that scenario.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah.
I feel like
I think they should outlaw it, but I have no idea whether they will or not. I just think it's such a cheap play.
I remember when they did it to USC did it to Notre Dame. Remember years ago
the Bush push.
He pushed Leinart drove him into the end zone.
Matt Leinart and Brady Quinn,
yeah,
dueling it out.
What a match!
What
two
a game.
Studs. And now they're doing college football broadcasts together.
Two quarterback studs couldn't play when it came to the NFL.
No, God no.
But two college studs rather they were. And for everybody who says, oh well, if it's so easy, why didn't Buffalo do it? Buffalo didn't have anybody shoving Josh Allen, which is the point. If Buffalo had three offensive linemen behind Josh Allen or a running back and a tight end and then an offensive lineman dragging him across the line like Philly does, it probably would have worked. Buffalo did not do the tush push. They just had Josh Allen try a one-yard run by himself, hammering his head into the
line. And he, like, stops. He, like, hesitates.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Which is, again, that's how a lot of those look. Yeah. And the tush push is different. They should outlaw it. I don't know that they will. But they should, in my estimation. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. All your thoughts on Super Bowl 59. You got the Chiefs. You got the Eagles. You got the refs, of course, prominently right in the middle of all of it. Plus, let's get into Josh McDaniels, some criticism of his hire nationally, and some more hires on the Patriots coaching staff. Billy Lanny with all the latest there, and we're right back.